If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This week on Retronauts. And on the eighth day, God gave voice acting to robots. It was... not good. Hello, and welcome to Retronauts, where this week it is all about Mega Man X4. That is the fourth entry in the sometimes good, sometimes not so good Mega Man X action game series. I'm here with, actually, my notes say two devoted Mega Man fans, but I actually have three devoted Mega Man fans with me who don't know any better. First, of course, is our very esteemed leader, Jeremy Parrish, who has been a Mega Man fan alongside myself for a very, very long time. Why don't you introduce yourself, Jeremy? That was not necessary, but I want you to, because I value you.
Sure. I'm Jeremy Parrish. Sometimes I'm on Retronauts, and I'm always wondering why Bass and us must fight.
Hey, Bass, we are not enemies. Shut up. I love Bass. And we also have our...
No, he's Bass.
Damn it, he's not a fish.
He's Bass, Jeremy.
I've heard Mega Man say it with his own little robo-mouth.
I think Forte is better person.
Mega Man's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay. I can't argue that.
You
wait, it's
there.
Dr. Wily again?
Ah.
I didn't see it coming.
This Mr. X guy seems on the level.
That's why I like Mega Man 7, because even though canonically in Japan he didn't say, I'm going to blow your fucking head off, Wily, he said it in America, and that was enough for me.
It was the only time Mega Man was cool.
It's the only time. Why don't you say hi, Stuart, since you already introduced yourself here by slandering Mega Man?
Hey, Stuart. I was doing a joke. It's me, Stuart, your pal.
You're our pal. Actually, something you said to me recently on Blue Skies, we got to have a Retronauts about Beano.
Oh, yeah. Because, I'd have to find an actual gaming reason to do that somehow. I'd have to tie it.
Was there a Beano game or a Dandy game?
There must have been some game based on at least one of the many terrible characters. Possibly, yeah. Desperate Dan. It feels like Desperate
Dan. You could
Dan
do like
game.
Like a legumes and video games episode, and then just all talk about Beano.
Oh man, we are talking about totally different Beanos here.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just say
I understand,
not?
But that's okay, the segue. Good. That's the entry point.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Actually, that's an entry point from our leader. So
I'm the
ideas
guy.
Generous.
That's all I'm good for.
Also, Biffo Bear. I swear to God, I blocked that motherfucker out, and he came back because of memes. And I'm just like, dear God. Anyway,
he's a beautiful, beautiful bear.
No, he's not. His feet are weird monkey feet. Victor Hunter, why don't you say hi before this goes completely off the rails?
Hi, I'm Victor Hunter, and you learned Shippuga, 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 the girl that's hard to get.
That's really good, actually. The voice acting in Mega Man X4 for the Zero's moves, they live in my head to this day. And you got Shippuga. That's a big one. Actually, there's a lot of voice acting bits that live in my head from that game.
I really love that when you get soul buddy, it sounds like you're saying, "You've got soul, buddy."
Hey, you got soul, yeah. Buddy. You got that.
That's why I hear every time. And I'm like, thank you, game.
My fiance said that I played through Zero's story last night in preparation. And my fiance said that whenever he says, "You learned," she thought it sounded like he was going, "You learned blank," like he was reading from a prompter, or like he forgot his script or something.
Victor is a voice actor, so he can kind of understand these these subtleties in the language, and I can absolutely see that being the case, because the way I understand it is that with Mega Man 8 and Mega Man X4, in both cases, we're dealing with voice actors who I think are just Japanese people who kind of know English for the most part and are doing their best.
I feel like it's English speakers who happened to be nearby the studio. Like,
that's
the famous, "Hey, janitor, go in the closet and record this on a little condenser mic. Thank you."
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It was pretty much the best they could do back in the day. I think that's one of the things that really attracted me to Mega Man Legends was that, holy crap, these are actually really good voice actors for the first time and very Canadian.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me very quickly. The voice of Mega Man Volnut was Corey Sevier. Did you ever know him, Victor? Did you ever meet him?
No. Where is he from?
Canada. He's extremely Canadian.
Well, Canada's a big place, Nadia.
There's only like three places that people live.
He's from Toronto. He was from Toronto. He actually was on a Canadian show that lasted for 2 seconds, and it was really good, called Nexus, I think it was.
How good could it be in 2 seconds? It must have been a hell of a couple of seconds.
It was a real intense 2 seconds. Okay. But what I mean
it
is, like,
15 minutes of fame condensed into 2 seconds. It's hardcore.
It was such a small Canadian bit that I wrote something for it in my proto blog before LiveJournal was even a thing. And the producer of the show was like, "Wow, cool! Thanks for writing about our show." Early internet fun.
I will say that Nadia, you've taken us there. The Japanese voice of Mega Man Volnut is, of course, Mayumi Tanaka, who is also known as the voice of Luffy in One Piece, or as the voice of, oh my gosh, what's her name? One of the Sakura Wars girls. So there's your Sakura Wars connection.
We have done 6 degrees of Sakura Wars here on Retronauts.
My job is done.
This is what Victor does to us in Acts of the Blood God, which incidentally is the podcast that I co-host. It's an RPG podcast, Old, New, Eastern, Western. And Victor is our producer and often one of the hosts, and he connects everything to Sakura Wars, and he's very good at it. Congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Can the whole rest of this episode just be us doing that? Because that sounds quite fun, actually. Naming things and trying to...
Just some loose free association. Yeah, sure.
I've never been more acutely aware that I didn't grow up in a Commonwealth state than I am at this moment.
Oh, you're the outlier today.
I am.
You are. You're the American.
Mm-hmm.
But you are from North Carolina, so that's close to my heart.
I am not from North Carolina.
No, but you are in North Carolina. You are in.
There's a difference.
That is actually true. My husband is from North Carolina.
I don't swallow my words, so you can tell I'm not from here.
That's a good way to put it. That is a good way to put the accent. So, Mega Man X4, which is something we came here to talk about, released as Rockman X4 on August 1st, 1997, localized to great comedic effect as Mega Man X4 on October 3rd of that same year for the PSX. It also came out on the Saturn and PC a little bit later. This is interesting. Also on mobile phones in Japan as separate adventures, one for X and one for Zero. I should have looked that up. I don't know if that's a feature phone or the way you're shaking your head, Parrish, tells me you know something about this atrocity.
It had to have been a feature phone. I don't think I ever saw it myself, but there were so many action games, especially adjacent to Mega Man, released for feature phones. And every single one of them was just an exercise in, like, why would anyone do this to themselves? What would possess a person to say, I need my Mega Man fix so bad that I'm going to use a feature phone to play through this extremely challenging and pretty elaborate 2D platform action game that's all about timing, responsiveness, and reflexes.
It says just has 2011 who does that? Though. I 2011.
That's what
I'm
wondering
to imagine
about the 2011. By then, okay. Were feature phones kind of dead? But the feature phone market in Japan, in fact,
they survived a long time in Japan.
Yeah. It would have. Retronauts, actually, I've done a Retronauts episode with Rockman Cosmo about feature phones, Mega Man in particular, the games that were kind of trapped there. He's done a lot of work since. I'd actually love to have him back on the show about that.
I've recorded lots of Retronauts episodes with the help of a feature phone while I was in Japan before.
Really?
Before you could go international. You know, I'd have to go to Japan and rent a feature phone and get like a 30-minute international calling plan that would last me for the week for $100 or so.
Wow.
Bad times. Bad times.
Yeah.
That it is so crazy to think about how that really was not that long ago. I remember in, God, I don't even remember what year it was, but in like 2000, whatever the hell it was, and I was up for a job as the Nintendo DS guide for About.com back when that existed. And I was so like eager to find out whether or not I got the job. And I was on a train to Otakon, and there was like nothing in the way of Wi-Fi back then. But I spent the money to look up my email on like my feature phone and see if I got that job. And it was such a disaster, I couldn't even manage it. So I just went back to playing Final Fantasy IV on my DS. That's what year it was. Whatever year Final Fantasy IV came out on the DS.
Yeah, I remember one time landing in Japan. This was when they first started letting you take a data plan with your smartphone. And on the tarmac at Narita International, I was like, I should check and see what people are saying on Patreon. So I logged in, and the Patreon app sucked 75% of my data for the week in the first 2 minutes. I was what the hell? What is wrong with this app? So yeah, it's, we've come a long way, but all of that is to say that, we probably should have looked up whether Rockman 4 on phones was a feature phone game. They did put out Mega Man 2 pretty early in the iOS days. So it might have been something along those lines. But the fact that it was Japan only suggests that it is feature phone. I'm starting to sound like Vizzini. and, you know, I'm going up against Rockman when death is on the line, which is not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know if either of you saw this interview that I linked to on Schmupulations or if you've read it before. But it's really interesting. We have it with the... The interview is with the producers of a couple of producers of the game, one of them being Yoshinori Takenaka. And, of course, Keiji Inafune is another producer, which there's a gentleman, isn't there?
What's he up to now? Huh?
What's he up to now? Getting kicked out of level 5.
Oh, I like Inafune.
Yeah.
Man, there's a man I'd love to see get some kind of redemption arc, but it might be past his time.
Mighty number 10. It's coming.
That 3DS version is still listed some places.
Unfortunately, a while back, my pre-order got cancelled by Amazon. They said they won't be able to get it. I put it on Blue Sky, and it went moderately viral. And you know how much money I got for that? None.
Which is how much money you spent on... did you actually spend money on the DS game?
No, I didn't, to be fair. No, just the PC and PS4 versions and Xbox.
So everything worked out, you know? Zero sum.
I liked it. I liked it. I'm sorry. I liked it. I thought it was all right.
Yeah,
it was fine.
I think Mighty Number 9 is just fine. I think it's fun. I think Ray is really fun to play as.
My God, Ray!
I kind of think it's better than most of the X games, to be honest. But you know,
that's a podcast I'll fight you over because I hated that game. I had to review it for US Gamer, and I was just like, this is so unfun. This is the least fun thing I've played in ages.
I thought it was just fine. I like the core idea behind it. I think it's
fine. I gave it a 2.5, so I didn't blast it, but I was just like, wow, this is the most like unreal ass asset game I've played in a long time. Thanks, KJ Inafune.
Interesting.
But anyway, the Mega Man X4 team apparently was kind of rowdy. Like, they, according to the Schmupulations translation, like, they said when it comes to partying and drinking, we're second to none. Which, maybe that's just typical Japanese game development behavior. I don't know. But to say that you are number one in drinking and partying and you're a Japanese game developer, that's a pretty big claim.
So when you're saying when you say that, you're suggesting, implying that when they designed Zero with long blonde hair and those crystals on his chest, knowing that some foreigners would misinterpret that as breasts and think Zero was female. Like they knew what they were doing. They were trolling.
I actually never thought Zero was female. Like if you think, I know that must be seem weird to you, but like when I saw his whatever the hell that yellow thing was, the back of his head, I'm like, oh, he has a cape. I didn't think that was hair. And it wasn't until Zero 3 that I was reading a fan fiction and someone mentioned it's his hair. And I'm like, holy shit, it's his hair? And as for the crystals, I'm like, well, everything has crystal boobs in Mega Man X, apparently.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that was the era of Rob Liefeld's Captain America. So nothing out of the pale.
Unit.
And, you know, I kind of know what it's like to have a chest that's like a prue on a boat. So anyway, it's a good way to get people out of the way when you're just like in a rush and you need to walk like death. And you're like, get out of my way. And you just kind of got like the bow of a ship getting people out of the way. It's pretty – of course, you have to be my height for it to work.
Tomb Raider 1 Lara Croft in real life is what you're saying.
Yes. Especially the jagginess and the corners. One thing I brought up here, actually, because I'm kind of a the way I do my notes, just to give you an idea, is I wrote here, get equipped with shit to talk about. And that's the format I generally favor for a really old retro kind of like game like this, where you just want to talk about what's cool about it, what you liked about it. And, you know, let's start with the music, which was composed by Toshihiko Horiyama, who did the soundtrack for Mega Man X and for Mega Man X 4, and I find that very interesting because I feel like they have two very different sounds.
Yeah.
I put down one of my favorite songs in the game, the Split Mushroom stage. I think that's great. But do any of you have any comments or favorites about the music compared to the other X games? I see you have a note here, Parrish.
It's synthy where the Mega Man X original was kind of heavy guitar, kind of rock led, it seems, in places. It's not my favorite because, and I hate to say this because I don't like the games that much, but X5 and X6 have such banger soundtracks.
Yeah.
Like, they're insane. And there is some good stuff in here. Like, I do like the boss battle music, and I like the music when you fight the big dragon thing, Eregion, I think.
Eregion.
Yeah. At the beginning. But a lot of it for me is just kind of there. Not that I don't enjoy it, but it's just kind of there. And it all has a similar sound, I think. There's not much variation, so it kind of blurs together for me.
That makes sense, yeah. What about you, Parrish? You kind of mentioned the same thing, especially with X6 and X5 having great music.
Yeah, there's like this weird inversion in some of the Mega Man games, like where the quality is disproportionate between the game and the music. Like Mega Man 6, okay. Mega Man X6, genuinely terrible. Dreadful, dreadful game.
It's
pretty clearly thrown together in like 20 minutes just to get something out the door. But both of them have just phenomenally good soundtracks. X6, like, has no business having a soundtrack that good for a game that crappy. X5 is good, and the soundtrack, great. X4... probably, objectively speaking, is the best of the PlayStation trilogy. I kind of like X5 more just because it's weirder and more adventurous. But like, just in terms of a game you can pick up and play and everyone can enjoy, I feel like X4 is a crowd pleaser, but it definitely has the least interesting of the PlayStation soundtracks. It just Like, nothing about it sticks in my memory. If you, you know, like, put something on, like, a YouTube playlist, I'd say, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that, I remember that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
When it stopped, I'd be like, what was that? I just totally forget it. Just doesn't stick in my head.
Yeah, I don't think I could hum you a tune from X4 the way I can X, you know.
Yeah,
there's nothing
classic.
That really, really sticks in my head. And I think part of that is I especially... when it's stuff this rock and prog and some metal influences, I tend to enjoy that stuff when it's a little lower fidelity. Like, mm-hmm. I prefer the prog via an NES or a Super Nintendo more so than I do the more literal versions of it on PlayStation or later. Even like, I like some Mega Man Zero stuff a little bit more than this, with its,
it
with its crunchy guitar samples. Yeah. Like, I tend to go for the lower information zone when it comes to these kinds of compositions.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But I like it. It's there. It's happening. But I think these X games are also so full of sound design elements. Like, there are sound effects, there are explosions, there are shots being charged, there are slashes sounding, there are a lot of things happening in the soundscape of these games that I feel like it kind of gets in the way of even knowing what you're listening to sometimes.
That sometimes happens with the Mega Man games. Like, Mega Man 4, I think, has one of the best NES soundtracks, but that charge sound, dear God, it just...
yeah, you never hear it. Yeah.
Well, it actually cuts out one of the audio channels for the music. There's only 5 sound channels on the NES, so one of them has to go away so that you can get that warbling effect. So it actually degrades the music.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, you know, both Stuart and Victor have mentioned the crunchy guitars, the butt rock of the original Mega Man X games on Super NES. Mm-hmm. And they had the opportunity to, like, bring that so mm-hmm. that you have, you know, like, real guitar sounds on PlayStation. And they didn't really capitalize on that, which I think is a shame, because as much as I like the Super NES Mega Man soundtracks, I do think that they suffer somewhat from the Super NES audio chip sampling quality. Like, overdrive guitars don't really sound like guitars on Super NES. They kind of sound like a bumblebee stuck its ass in a Dalek ring modulator.
Yeah,
kind of.
That's fun.
Kind of get the idea, but it's also really strained. So they could have like finally, Mega Man X could have finally realized the butt rock aspirations of the series on PlayStation, and it didn't. Big loss.
It should have used the bee's butt.
I feel like the compositions for X, the original, they make that work, like, somehow. Because in X2 and 3, they have some quite good tunes, but X2 has this weird, like, I don't even know how to know, it's like,
I know what you mean, but yes.
And then in X3, you just get the same jong, 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 ja, jong, over and over again in almost all the songs, and it just makes it kind of feel kind of flat. And I do like some of the, like, Blast Hornet, I think, is great, but it's just not there. And X4, I think, it has some good stuff, like I said, but it also, weirdly, it has this kind of early game CD music, Redbook audio kind of sound to it, which is weird, because this isn't that early for PS1, right? This is, like, three-plus years into its life.
It was a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, this is so 97.
Like, it seems like this had been figured out, but I don't want to dump on it, because I do like a lot of the tracks. I just would always go for X5 and 6 over it, that's all.
Yeah.
X6's intro, I don't know what's going on there, but it is ridiculous, like, how good that song is when you start that level, and it has that incredible rolling drum, like, holy shit, what's going on? Wow,
it really fools you. Like, it makes you put your guard down, and then its absolute shittiness just punches you right in the stomach so hard, and you are so unprepared. Your defenses are down. You don't see it coming. It's brutal. Just brutal.
It was,
like,
a bit of a smack.
Sound design as war crime, in my opinion.
Are you doing podcasts about X5 and X6? Because I'll save it, my anger for those.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're preemptively invited to my podcast about the other X games.
Anger about X5?
X5 is so cool.
I like X5. Okay. Me and Jeremy, we're on the same page. Like, okay. Okay. Star. I love it when me and Jeremy are on the same page. It's great.
It's very rare.
Usually, yeah.
So, this is kind of mean, but I did say one song I remember is a song that plays when Zero kicks Iris's ass. because that's called, I think it's called, oh shoot, something love. Like, it has a kind of a dark name to it, and I just kind of like that. But that was a good
Tainted
song.
Love?
Love tap.
Using a green sword to kill the person that you
see,
love.
It's even got the little robo beeps in it.
It kind of does, yeah. But yeah, so that was that's the song I remember most in Split Mushroom Stage, like I said. But yeah, definitely Mega Man X5 and X6, even X8. I mean, this is an X8 podcast, but there is a gorgeous, gorgeous song in X8 that comes out of nowhere, and it's when you're in the Maverick rematch room. It just this beautiful acoustic guitar piece. I'm like, what the fuck? But I listen to it when I'm swimming, and I love it.
I think X8 is X great.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that very much. Okay, so where were you all in terms of, like, when this game came out, like, with the Mega Man fandom? Were you already, like me, an established fan, or were you just, like, seeing it in a magazine and you said, holy shit, this looks good? Parrish, I kind of know where you were, but you may as well start.
Yeah, I was there watching Kennedy get shot. I remember it.
I was there, Gandalf and Kennedy
sorry,
got shot.
Sorry, I got my where were you when questions mixed up. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I if you know me, you know that I started playing Mega Man with the first game before it came out, before the sequel came out. So I'm an old sucker. So, you know, I had gone in on N64 and after about 6 months said, well, that was a mistake. So I traded that for a PlayStation.
Same.
And I bought Tomb Raider, Suikoden, Mega Man 8. And Mega Man 8 kind of made me say, you know what? Maybe this style of game has had its day and doesn't need to be around anymore. And yeah. Maybe this is just stale and bad. And then I played Symphony of the Night and realized, oh, no, actually, 2D gaming, very good. So it was kind of hard to get me excited about X4 because I didn't like the X series as much as the classic Mega Man anyway. And X, or, you know, Mega Man 8 had really let me down. And X4 does have some of the problems of the original, or not of the original, but of Mega Man 8,
right.
Which is just that I think audio, or not audio, but optical disc technology of that era didn't really fit the kind of compact 2D style of gaming. Like, it's really disruptive to have to load a new section, and there's just that kind of intrusive, awkward silence when it transitions between stages or sections of the stage. Everything just doesn't quite feel right. It feels all a little disjointed. Like, the gameplay, the art, the music, the voice acting, everything is just a little off.
Yeah,
so I was a little gun shy with X4, but because I'm a big dumb sucker, I still bought it anyway and enjoyed it. So that was my Shaggy Dog story.
That's nice. We got some love out of the Mega Man 8 hate, but I kind of understand where you're coming from. I don't hate 8. Like, actually, David and I are kind of streaming it every other week for now on our stream, but he's good at it.
Does playing it make you jump, jump, jump?
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? You can play. Like, usually we kind of trade, like, with games. Like, I'll play this level, you play that level. But I'm just like, you go ahead and play. I'm just not a big 8 fan. I don't like the way it feels. I don't like the art style. We're talking about the music. I really don't like the music very much, except for the stage select screen is classic. But I do like Electrical Communication, which got cut out of the U.S. version anyway. So, eh. I will say, though, Paris, going back to, like, you know, N64 regret, nothing made me feel N64 regret. Like, back in the day when they used to have attract screens to actually attract you to buy games outside of game stores. And I see the intro for Mega Man 8. I'm like, oh, shit. The N64 can't do this, man. And to make it worse, then I saw the intro for Wild Arms, and I'm like, ah, well, I made the right choice. I love Mario. Mario's all right.
How do you feel about Mega Man and Bass?
I know you would love that game. I know you must love that game. You must love it. You must love the Game Boy Advance Edition that everybody detests.
What if you have all the problems of Mega Man 8, but then shrink the screen proportion or dimensions so everything is really cramped, and then do it again for Game Boy Advance. That sounds fun, right?
It does.
I think it's way better than Mega Man 8, but that doesn't make it top tier in the franchise or anything. I just thought they had a lot of fun things in there, like finding your little data CDs to learn about all your different Robot Masters and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was especially cool. But
those CDs, actually, I was going to plug because my husband and I wrote the Mega Man Robot Master Field Guide, which uses those CDs as kind of a background for a lot of the character profiles there.
It's so their likes and dislikes.
The various likes and dislikes. There's some interesting ones there. I always liked how Snake Man likes Toad Man, but Toad Man hates Snake Man. That's just very cute.
Too real.
Very, very nature-based. I like that Top Man's expression was, "You turn me right around," which, sure, man, I'll take it. I'll take any pop culture reference.
Like a record.
Music,
like a record, baby.
Music composed by Naoshi Mizuta of Final Fantasy XI fame. So there's my other, everyone take a drink.
I knew you were going to break out Sakura Wars, but I didn't expect a Final Fantasy XI reference, so good job, man.
Thank you.
But, just briefly, I just like pop culture references in video games. Like when, what's his name, Stone Man or Brick Man says, "You're another brick in the wall," then Mega Man 11. I'm like, yeah, that's the shit I live for. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Victor,
no
where
wonder
were you?
You like FF14.
Isn't that whole thing just the wall? Like, I think it's just Final Fantasy 14, colon, the wall, basically. Where were you, Victor, when Mega Man X4 came out? And were you like, oh my god? Or were you just like, oh, I know Mega Man. I like Mega Man. So I'm
Those are my two options, oh my god, or oh, I like Mega Man?
Yeah, that's the only options that are valid in life.
So, did not have a PlayStation. I was a primarily Nintendo kid. However, my friend did have a PlayStation, and he did own Mega Man X4. Seeing that game being played was not only the first time I had played a Mega Man game.
Oh, really?
It was the first time I had played a 32-bit game.
Oh.
And it was the first time I had seen a game with full motion video anime cutscenes.
Oh, you must have lost your mind.
Mega Man X4 was possibly the coolest thing I had ever seen in my life up to that point. I thought everything about it was incredible. We were early internet adopters, so I used all of that power to look up what Mega Man was and why there were four of these games. I had never heard of them. Some of them were on the Super Nintendo. I had a Super Nintendo. Why wasn't I playing them? X4 was my gateway into Mega Man, and it is truly, it's like the platonic ideal of 90s coolness to me.
Yeah,
still.
That's a good way to think
about
it.
I love it.
How much games did you play when you were younger? How did you miss out on Mega Man entirely?
Very few games. I lived in a pretty small town, and I didn't have any magazine subscriptions yet. I don't think I subscribed to Nintendo Power until 98, probably. But yeah, I had a Game Gear, and I had a Super Nintendo, and those were kind of my things. And I didn't, something about even going to the rental shop and seeing Mega Man games. I think, here's what it is. I remember one of the only Mega Man boxes being on the shelf of the Microplay rental section was Mega Man Soccer.
Ah.
And I already spent enough time being forced to play real soccer as a kid. As a kid who desperately wanted to be making art and doing plays, I already got forced into enough soccer. I wanted nothing to do with soccer.
But you love Sakura Tyson.
I love Sakura Tyson. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Explain that one, Victor.
We call it football a Tyson. Mega Man never grabbed me until I saw this. And then I was all in. I've been a Mega Man fan ever since.
The Mega Man soccer thing is so funny. Like, did your parents not throw you into hockey like every other Canadian parent?
No. I don't know why. I think we just lived pretty far away from where any rinks were. Or obviously, I didn't show much aptitude for it either. I don't know. I played defense in soccer, and I would like duck and hide from the ball. It was just not my scene.
You wouldn't be much good with a puck anyway. So,
no, yeah. I don't think so.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What about you, Stuart? What was your entry into Mega Man?
To Mega Man? I've talked about it before, so I'll be brief. But basically, when I was a little kid, I had a friend who had the first Mega Man on NES. And I was so young that I could only remember it as sort of the kind of phosphorus-y kind of the intro screen where it's going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like the most sensory assault thing imaginable when you're a kid. But yes. You know, I couldn't get anywhere in it. Another friend of mine had 2 and 4, which kind of puts paid to the lie that there were no NESs in the UK, because I knew like 2 people with them. And then I just sort of didn't think about it for a long time, because it's like, well, you move on. You know, I didn't have like a Super Nintendo. I didn't have like a PS1. I didn't really get anything until PS2. So everything I got sort of vicariously. But when I got the internet, I don't know how I came about this exactly, but I found out about Sprite comics.
Yeah.
I love comics. Okay, and I love video games. There's two tastes that taste great together, and I saw the Mega Man X4 sprites in these comics, and I'm like, this is the coolest. Like, what the? This is amazing. Like, these look so cool. They're so detailed compared to what I know from magazines from like Mega Man X and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to play this game until 2006, when the Mega Man X collection came out.
Right, yeah.
I couldn't get them in the UK. I didn't have a PS1, you know. You couldn't get them anywhere in second hand because they were rare as like hen's teeth. And when this compilation came out, for me, it was like, oh my god, I get to play X3 PS1 version, X4, X5, and X6, and Battle and Chase, you know, but we don't care about that. So then I play X4 and X5 and X6 for the first time, and I'm just kind of seeing all these things I know from Sprite comics in context now.
That's funny.
And it just feels kind of weird. Like, I can't play this game without thinking about my crappy Sprite comics from when I was a kid, because that's what the characters are. I'm like, that's not that rebel, that's my guy. That's like...
That's Bob and George.
Right? I was going to say Bob and George.
That was Mega Man 7 sprites, Jeremy. Come on.
Oh. I actually was just watching a thing about Bob and George and the cataclysm theory, which was put forth by them, saying that Zero killed the whole Light family and going into the X series. And Inafune himself said, no, Zero wouldn't do that. And since it's Inafune, I don't know if that's still valid or not. But yeah. That I just found that very interesting. That I don't know if that was the sprite comic you were reading, because you're right, Bob and George is mostly Mega Man 7, but they did bring in Zero. I didn't read it myself, but I just remember the fandom going crazy about certain things, and that was one of them.
Because I found out about, like, emulation. I found out about, like, what was called Mega Man BB at the time. We've talked about it before, I think, what became Mega Man Network, obviously.
Which my husband runs now.
Yeah. That was like the first place you'll find me on the internet. I think I was maybe lurking. I may have posted a bit. I don't know. But it was just kind of intimidating. But there I was seeing these sprite sheets of like every animation of these extremely intricately animated and drawn.
I love the idea that you and I would probably cross streams back in the day. Like, we must have known each other from back in the day. And God, did I fight with some people on that board. It was some really great times.
But I just remember the, I want to say LBD Night Train. That's David, right?
That's my husband, yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that name on BB and then years later being on sort of other forums. I'm talking like probably over a decade later and seeing that name again and just being like, what the? Holy crap. The world is so small.
He's following
it is a small world.
Yeah.
It's extremely small.
And now here I am, world famous.
Wow. You were the world famous Stuart.
It's just, I think it's, I just find it like, it's, it really is just odd to me to play these games and only really think of early internet rather than the games themselves in the context that they were supposed to be consumed. They never quite feel right to me for that reason. But, it's a weird journey in, but I had to wait for the collection.
I think, for all of the bad that the internet has done, I think it will always remain a net good because of the spriter's resource. I don't think there's anything I've used so consistently over the past like 25 years on the internet. It's incredible. And that's absolutely where I went and looked at these sprites. And my dad's a commercial artist, so we always had Photoshop really early on. So for as long as I've known about Mega Man, I've been editing Mega Man sprites and like playing around with pixel art and just Spriter's Resource was incredible. It's an amazing place. They also just did like a big update recently.
They updated
the site for the first time with some new tools.
Did they get rid of all those really intrusive, annoying pop-ups that appear every time you click any page?
They're real. They've gotten pretty bad, huh?
They're bad.
Yeah, they're rough.
It's not quite fandom level, but it's bad.
No.
I think the Spriter's Resource, I'm sorry, this is slightly tangential. It operates on two levels, and one of the levels is a secret level, which is that they host all the CGs from erotic visual novels. and I feel like that might be driving a lot of the traffic that keeps it open.
That'll do it.
Which used to be in zip files that you'd need to download and can now be previewed thanks to their update. So.
Yay. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Things I didn't know
Speaking
about.
Speaking for myself, you know, in terms of like early internet and Mega Man, like to me, it was kind of the same story. Although by then I already knew about Mega Man. I was like an established fan, like 1990, whenever the hell it was, I played Mega Man 3.
Sure.
And, I had played Mega Man X, of course. I adored it. Mega Man X 2, I was a little bit disappointed in. I found it was just like, it's great if you're really into like the little bit of the more difficult action games, but I felt like music-wise, story-wise, it just didn't really, you know, grab me the way that Mega Man X did. So I was off Mega Man for a bit, but you'll appreciate this, Victor. I was watching Canadian video game show Video and Arcade Top 10, which ran until... We're just going to steal Crash Man's theme and call it a theme song.
Yeah.
Who's going to care? We're Canadian.
It's letter time.
I adapted that for Blood God, by the way. So they were playing Mega Man X3 one day. And I was like, oh, you know what? This looks pretty good. So I rented it from Microplay. And I, around the same time, my school was one of the first schools in Toronto to get online. So I used my power of internet to look up Mega Man stuff because I've been Mega Man X again. And this was right before X4 was announced. So I was really in there for the start of the hype. And I remember, I don't even know how the person found out, but the first webpage I visited about Mega Man said, we learned in Mega Man X3 that X is going to have to kill Zero because Zero was created by Wily. And I was like, whoa, because I didn't know that, even though it kind of hints at it in previous games, but somehow this person got confirmation. So when Mega Man X4 came out, everyone was just like, okay, this is where we're going to find out about Wily and Zero. And we did. we actually had some really fucking incredible cutscenes, like in the beginning where Zero has that dream about him killing everything, and that's probably the only really good cutscene in that whole game. Like, the rest of them are kind of a little bit low budget. But, yeah, so I was not just there for, like, the announcement, but also, like, the previews. And back in those days, the internet could only do so much, so I was reading a lot of game magazines still. I remember GamePro had, like, a really big preview. Interestingly, when the game came out, it taught me a lot about how people review things, because GamePro, when they did the PlayStation review, they're like, wow, this game rules, five exploding heads everywhere, you know, whatever it was. And then someone else did the review for the Saturn version, and they're like, wow, this, why are we playing 2D games in the great grand future we live in? This is a 3.5 out of whatever the fuck. And
they must have gotten their messaging wrong, because you're supposed to say that about a PlayStation games. Yeah. And Saturn, you're like, oh, opulent 2D, I love my sweet
I
pixel
love
child.
My 2D baby.
Yeah.
You can't see us, but we're rocking our sweet pixels like children.
No, you're actually right about that. But yeah, they just did not like this version of the game. And I thought to myself, but how could one reviewer say this and the other reviewer say that? And that's when I realized, wait a minute, reviewers are human beings with different opinions. And guess who always got told by so many people, why did you rate the game this way when this magazine rated it the other way? I don't understand. Aren't you a hive mind, you stupid idiots?
I heard that Imagine Babies is better than God Hand, according to IGN.
I never played it. I couldn't tell you. Maybe.
Yeah, so the real hype, I would say, in media hype for Mega Man X4 came from PSM Magazine, which was
three
baby issues old at that point. And they put they put X4 on the cover, drawn by American manga wannabe artist. I say that with respect, Adam Warren.
He's really good, yeah.
Yes, no, like his Dirty Pair stuff is phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah, agreed. Love it.
Yeah.
And then the hype line says Mega Man goes 3D, because it also has a preview of Mega Man Legends or Neo or Nova or whatever it was called at the time. But it's a little misleading, because you've got the Mega Man X4 art with Mega Man and Zero looking pretty cool, about to shoot you in the face with the X Buster, saying, wow, 3D, Mega Man X in 3D? That's so crazy. Well, that is crazy, because it didn't happen.
Right.
Sorry, kids. But nevertheless, they gave it a nice, loving, gushing glow up. You know, that's probably the reason why I bought that game, was because I was like, oh, if PSM says it's cool, and they're the unauthorized people who can say the truth about PlayStation without constraints, they must be telling me the truth. So, yeah. Okay, it worked.
That was a PSM back in the day. They had some great covers. That was it them who did that Symphony of the Night cover with Alucard and Maria? Because that was brilliant.
Probably. They tended to have pretty good covers. Sometimes it went a little cheesecakey, but, you know,
it was like, cheesecakey?
Hey, 13 years old kids, why don't you buy a magazine? When they weren't doing that, pandering to the, you know, the very young teen crowd.
To me.
Who were like, titties, wow. Their covers were great, yeah.
Interesting thing about me also being like really jammed in with the hype, I had a couple of friends, I'm still actually really good friends with them, but one of them gave me for the first time the voice clips from the game. Like, that was the first time I'd heard them. It was Zero saying that same dream again, which was kind of blur. It made no sense, because at the same time they have that klaxon going on in the background. Like, they're saying, like, Maverick attack, and it's like, okay, can't understand that. But it was also Sigma saying, you have enough power to destroy them, talking to General. I'm like, oh, man, that's so cool. The voice acting was hot garbage, but you didn't even realize it, because, holy crap, you're hearing voices for the first time.
So is General the same guy who promotes those insurance policies, the General? Because he kind of looks like a little, like, the modern, you know, the commercial General kind of looks like a little CG robot. So I'm wondering if they just, like, kept upgrading him until he became the leader of Repliforce.
Is this a mascot for an American insurance company? Because I might not know the reference.
Okay. Sorry, I forget. Commonwealth, my bad.
We do have an insurance guy who looks like a little knight, but I don't think we have a robot yet. But general would be a bad.
No, see, you're dealing with medieval armies. We're dealing with modern armies. That's the American difference.
Oh yes, you're dealing with the rail guns and stuff.
Yes,
I'm an insurance mascot. I have a rail gun. But
I'm going to blow your house away if you don't pay up.
Sure would. What a nice house. Sure would be a shame if it got railgunned. I wanted to point out, though, something that was really funny when I was, again, absorbing these early bits of Mega Man X4. This was back in the day when at home we had an internet, but it was like one line, dial up, God help you if your dad lifts up the phone, because if there's a person sending me the death of Iris, that video, oh my God, spoiler alert. And that was 5K a second over my phone line. And my father, like, who had a lot of clients, he'd pick up the phone and call them without thinking about it. Like, it was just like, oh my God, I feel like a rabbit in the shadow of a hawk. If I move, I'm dead. But eventually, the download did come through. Everything was fine. So I watched the scene, the infamous, you know, what am I fighting for the first time. And first of all, I'm like, well, that's not really good, but it's cool to see it. But what made this scene so funny is that the person who recorded it, I think they're recording off their monitor or something. It wasn't a native feed. And when Zero's running towards Iris saying, you know, Iris, Iris, you hear someone in the background saying, yeah. Because I think whoever was recording the thing was, like, talking to someone over their shoulder. So it was just really funny to hear Iris say, yeah, in a really really masculine voice. Sorry, that was just a really stupid diversion. I had to get that out of my system because it was really funny. But
I would download those cutscenes from some Mega Man fan site in, like, really small, real media, like, type videos. And I remember getting the double transformation scene and watching that and being kind of like, is this allowed? Can they do this?
Am I allowed
to have this? Am I going to jail? Because it's, you know, for Mega Man, that's intense. That's kind of bloody and intense.
Wild.
Yeah.
Why is their oil red?
Actually, it was a Games Done Quick that just happened recently. They did Mega Man X4, and this was the first time for a lot of people seeing these cutscenes. And a host of Axel the Blood God and friend of Retronauts, Cat Bailey, says to me, what's going on with that robot who transforms? Like, why did he turn into a jester? Why did he kill all those people? I'm like, I don't really have a good answer for you. Just it's Mega Man. And yeah, that, you're right, Stuart. That was kind of intense for a Mega Man game. And it was rated E. It was ratings were weird back then. Like,
it wasn't blood. It was oil. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No one died. It was just robots.
He's called double, like, for double agent, presumably. And it made me think that there should be one who's just called, like, traitor. Oh, I'm gonna kill you guys.
It's me, Traitor Bot, your friend.
They do that a lot with the Mega Man games. Just like make someone like
Redips.
I'm Death Dealer. How you doing?
Oh, Redips.
Fucking Redips.
Hell yeah. Now we're talking.
I actually wanted to talk about something very briefly that Stuart brought up before I forget, because this is something that's been on my mind lately. Stuart, you mentioned the Maverick at the opening stage, the dragon. His name's Aragon, something like that.
Eregion.
Now, here's the thing. Eregion. So that could be a reference to J.R.R. Tolkien's City of Elves, or it could be Capcom trying to say irregular dragon, because irregulars are what Mavericks are called Japan, unfortunately. But then I think to myself, Capcom comes out with weird literary references once in a while, and you wouldn't expect it. Like, there's a fantastic Kurt Vonnegut reference in Breath of Fire 2, where you have these two warring families, one named Kilgore, the other one named Trout. I love that. Same game. You have a reference to flowers for Algernon of all the goddamn things. So I guess why not have a J.R.R. Tolkien reference in Mega Man? It makes a shit ton of sense in retrospect, but at the same time, irregular dragon. So I don't know. That's just the top.
It could be that someone
was
really hungry for pasta sauce, and they were like, oregano. I need to remember to get that at the grocery store. I'll name my dragon oregano, and then I'll remember.
I like that. I think it's a typo, and he's meant to be called Egregion, like he's egregiously sized or something.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when I think of his name, too, I think of Aragon, which is like that really awful fantasy series. I just made a lot of people angry. So
yeah. Do you think they're making a reference to the 2002 young adult fantasy novel Aragon?
Absolutely.
One thing I wanted to kind of bring up, because if I don't, someone else will, is that Mega Man X4 came out in a time when Sony of America was really not into 2D games. And I was looking more into this because I had heard, like, the tittle-tattle is that, Capcom wanted to bring out Mega Man X4 to the West, and Sony said, no, we don't want 2D games that look old and stupid. And Capcom said, well, if you don't let us bring out Mega Man 8 and Mega Man X4, we won't give you Resident Evil. And that kind of swayed them. Nice. But I was looking into this, and here's the thing. Like, it's not quite the story, but also at the same time, Sony really didn't want 2D. Bernie Stoller was going to Bernie Stoller. So, yeah.
Imagine the world where they made that and Sony just called their bluff and said, okay, we don't want Resident Evil then. Imagine the world.
Everyone would have been blown away when Resident Evil 2 hit Nintendo 64.
Oh my God.
Actually, wasn't Resident Evil also on Saturn? They were doing a lot of cross stuff.
Yeah. They were really trying
their best. They had like this policy I read somewhere where if they had the game on the PlayStation and the Saturn, then there had to be some difference between them. Like there had to be some exclusive thing on there.
Yeah.
So they added extra stuff to the Saturn version. Oh, technically it's different on PlayStation. Thanks, guys.
In the PlayStation, was it in the manual, they put like a little crappy history of Mega Man like in the back of it?
They did. It was like a quote-unquote art book or something silly like that. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. A lot of them weren't even game changes. It was just little pack-ins and instruction booklets and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that story is totally apocryphal.
Does that mean true?
Yes, absolutely. It's like apocalyptically true. That's what apocryphal means.
Okay, good.
So my understanding is, it's been a long time since I've talked to anyone knowledgeable about this, but Sony absolutely put the kibosh on the PlayStation port of X3. They were like, you are not bringing this Super Nintendo game to our shiny, beautiful system in America.
We got it.
But I don't. Yeah, I know. Because you didn't have Sony of America. They were like,
we don't want it.
Fine.
It back. We don't want it. It sucks.
Yeah. But it had FMV that you couldn't get on Super NES. So clearly it was better. I don't think that there was really that much pushback on Mega Man X4, especially because it had a lot of content to it. You know, if you want to believe the story that you had to have something 3D in a game in order for it to get PlayStation, you know, there's 3D elements.
There is.
I think that's kind of been blown up in the telling. Now, in the very early days of PlayStation, like 1995, 96, Sony of America was very, very resistant to 2D games. But even then, you got like Adventures of Lomax. So, you know, it wasn't like a hard and fast rule. You got Rayman, even though that was also on Saturn and Jaguar, wasn't it?
Jaguar.
Yeah, so, it was, yeah.
So, yeah, so all of that is kind of overblown. Now, there were games that did not make the cut, like PS1 ports that didn't make the cut to PSP in America because Sony was like, this is not a system for old games. It's a system for new games, unless they're like, you know, downloadable only for, you know, the PS1 archives. But yeah, I really don't think this was a game that they tried to crush or suppress despite all the hand-wringing and fear-mongering. I mean, this was mongering. This came out here 3 months after the Japanese release, so it's not.
It wasn't too long, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it languished in localization hell for years.
No, nothing like that.
3 months is a pretty quick localization turnaround time for that period. So I think maybe we were just kind of used to Mega Man games coming out pretty much day and date in the US and Japan at the time. And this had a little more localization involved, a bigger script. Voice acting, you know, they spent at least a day on that. So that accounts for the delay.
Did 8 and X4 come out roughly the same time, or was 8 previous to X4?
8 came first.
Yeah, it came first.
Oh, okay. Right. I was going to say, it seems like it would have been a while since there was a Mega Man game in that case, or at least one that got to the West, since X3 was 95, I want to say.
95, yeah.
Yeah. If there's 8 in the middle, then yeah, I'm talking complete bollocks.
one thing I wanted to kind of bring up, and it's a really big thing about this game, is that the gameplay and story split between X and Zero, you're looking at effectively two very different games here. And I want to say, and I don't know if this is true, and you all can like call me out on it, I feel like, okay, so with Mega Man, you got your traditional, with X, you got your traditional Mega Man gameplay where you're shooting from an arm cannon, you're collecting enemy weapons, and they're mostly long distance, and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas Zero, you are using mostly melee attacks, you're using a sword, you are learning katas from enemies versus, like, actually absorbing their power, so you do a little bit of that too. So, I don't know if this is the first instance of an action game really making that split between melee and long distance, but it's a split I've always loved ever since. I am always going to prefer melee, because I was always a big Zero fan, but also I just really like up-close battles. I like in X4 how Zero has the spin when he jumps with the saber. That's really cool. I think it's called the Sky Waltz. So who did you prefer? Were you an X person or were you a Zero person? Parrish, are you still there? I think your camera froze.
No, I didn't freeze. No, I'm just trying to think if there were games like this that made that split.
Oh, thank
before.
You.
I preferred X, actually. To me, it doesn't feel like a Mega Man game if you're not doing shooty, chargey stuff. So I need some of that. And I like having the option to switch over to Zero and, you know, take care of guys up close. But when you've got to commit one way or the other, I want to have X as my guy. Even if he's kind of like his personality is kind of dopey. He's not as cool as Zero, but I like the game feel better. It's more Mega Man to me.
I mean, his personality is going to get a lot dopier as the series wears on.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of got the Cyclops effect. It's like, why are you the main guy?
I like Zero because I played the Mega Man Zero games before this one because of the aforementioned timing issue. But I always felt, and this might be incorrect, that Zero felt like easy mode to me because everything was reliant just on basic sort of positioning rather than aiming and positioning. And it's kind of easy to kill all the bosses without even using the cutters, I thought, with Zero. But it's too simple for me, in a sense. And whenever I play it nowadays, I would generally pick X and try and do the X game. But I just like Zero. I just think Zero is really cool. I think Zero is dope as hell. So I want to play as Zero.
Yeah.
And Victor, did you write this novel in the notes? Because I love it.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Please talk.
Zero's important. It's not the first time Zero's playable, but it's the first time he's got a unique moveset.
X3 was like,
really count X3, do we?
No.
I was really disappointed.
You get one life and that's it.
Yeah. This is cool. I want to ask the group, and feel free to mull it over as we're talking, but like, what other slashing or sword-based action platformers were doing this before X4?
I mean,
think of like Strider.
Strider.
I wrote up Ninja Gaiden, sort of Strider, and Shinobi. Yeah. And like Cannon Dancer. Cannon Dancer came out like a year before this.
Is that the one with the dog?
No, that's
Shadow Osman. Dancer.
It's Shadow Dancer. Not Cannon
Which
Dancer.
Which is
totally
also,
different.
That's more of a shuriken game than a sword game.
Oh, you're right.
Well,
yeah,
Shinobi's great because it introduced contextual control changes. Like if a guy's up close, you'll just automatically switch over to your stabby bits. Otherwise, you'll toss weapons at them. So
interesting.
I love the way that feels.
Just to be willfully obscure, there's also Run Saber on the Super Nintendo. That's
sure. This,
you mean Strider Jr.?
Yeah, Strider, not as good.
I think what Zero does here is it's a perfect mix of the sword play and the athleticism. Because with, like you guys were saying, Mega Man X, you have to position yourself, you have to shoot, and Mega Man X shoots in one direction, give or take. You know, you'll get special weapons that have different arcs. You'll get some parabolas. You'll get some up, down. You find things later on to sort of manipulate the axes on which you can control space. Zero gets to control space right from the get-go. He's got wide arcs to his slashes that can be anti-air. It's the first time you can be walking down a slope and hit the thing slightly below you without too much trouble. You know, He's got so much control over the space around him. And canonically, Zero is a higher ranking hunter than X.
He is.
Even when you, hunter. Yeah, even when you boot up five after this, when you select your characters, it labels Zero as an S rank hunter. And I think X is a B rank hunter.
X usually hovers around B.
Yeah, despite having saved the world as many times as he has.
He has the potential to be S, but he won't.
Yes.
It's kind of like how Ryu has never actually won the Street Fighter tournament.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Since the original.
Yeah. But Zero, yeah, he just controls space in a way that I don't. I mean, I know I had never played anything that felt this athletic and acrobatic and like I had mastery over what was on screen, which is, yeah, a totally different feeling from X and in some ways a lot easier. But I think that's kind of by design because Zero is as badass as he is. So I think the way he feels is incredible. I mean, obviously, because they made a whole sub-series about
how they evolved it from this game to sort of the Zero series, just really briefly, like how they made it more kind of character action-y for Zero when, you know, you've got combos you can end or interrupt or continue with different moves. It's like such an interesting expansion on this. The fact you can go into a boss fight and take half the health off with one combo, if you know what you're doing, it's very hard to do, but it's intentional. Like, it's not a glitch, it's not a bug. If you can do it, it means you're good. Yeah. I can't do it, but it's cool that you can. And you can see how they looked at this and went, okay, this could be a whole thing.
And they knew they wanted it to feel like you were agile because they could have just made the default attack one slash and then the enemy enters hit stun and you've dealt, you know, four pips of damage or whatever. But they purposely made it a three hit combo that feels incredible before the enemy enters hit stun. Like you get to see those little bits of damage rapidly decreasing. Mm-hmm. It feels great. It's so good.
So, yeah, I can't think of another game that predates this that had this kind of fluid, you are basically the sword god kind of action quality to it. But I do think that any game that creates characters, like one character that is melee focused and one that is projectile focused, ultimately traces its origins back to Monster Party for NES, where Mark used a baseball bat and Bert, the demon that he could transform into, attacked with ranged strikes. That is my TED Talk. Thanks for coming.
I guess I'll give it to you. I guess I have no choice. But Inafune never really made a secret of how much he liked Zero. And I always felt like X4 was Zero's game to the point that I don't know if you've ever seen the Saturn cover art for X4, where it's just Zero standing kind of half shrouded in darkness and he's got his saber just glowing in the dark. I'm like, oh shit, that's amazing. Yeah. But it gives you an idea of what they were going for with X4, especially like I made a joke way back in the 90s, early 2000s about how when you look at the intro for X4, it's a lot of Zero. And then they kind of throw in like 6 seconds of X shooting his buster because they had no idea what to do with this guy otherwise. Because it's Zero who, I mean, X has the plot line with Double, who is the Maverick who, oh my God, we had no idea he was going to be bad. His name is Double, for God's sakes. Reddit's precursor. It was okay. It was fine for a story, but Zero was the one who had the romantic tragedy. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a big deal in, it was a big deal for me because holy shit, I loved stupid sappy ass stories. Here's a stupid sappy ass story about a robot in love. And oh God, it all went wrong. I love that. So I feel like Zero definitely got the lion's share of what X4 makes it special to me anyway.
I mean, like Stuart was saying, look at their sprite sheets. Zero's combat style lends itself to so many more frames of animation and interesting dynamic poses. Like there's so much love put into his sprite sheet that is, it's, you know, dozens and dozens more frames of animation and detail than X. You're moving on to the PlayStation, why not do something that's going to show off your pixel art even more?
I guess with X, it's like, okay, well, he shoots a weapon, it comes out of his arm cannon either way. Zero, again, you got all these katas you got to animate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that kind of fits the characters, because Zero has like a personal stake in this story. He's really out there trying to figure out like what's going on. Why are all these bad things happening? What can I do to turn it around? And X is like, I'm a cop. Time to kill all the guys who might have done a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a little like, X, this, come on, grow
this up. This is when the Mega Man story, like, sometimes they succeed with their story, a lot of times when they don't, but they were trying something here when they had that intro, which actually was pretty cool with General and Sigma. And for some reason, Sigma's entertaining an interview with a Reploid who's dressed like the Grim Reaper. And, you know, Sigma says to General, like, the hunters, they just kill people who don't obey the humans. And that's a good point. And no one ever really goes back to it. And so the General's like, fine, we'll make our own country with like blackjack and hookers, and didn't go well either.
Yeah, Zero. The crux of Zero's story is that he has to put down his girlfriend who's misguidedly yearning for an ethno state.
Well, I didn't realize this game was so relevant to the modern era, but now I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I think on top of the story getting more sort of involved, it also helps that they've, even though it's fairly rudimentary, they've given voices to the Mavericks you fight as well. Like, yes. In the opening, when you run into Magma Dragoon before you fight him, it's they sort of tried a bit in X3 with Mac and his incredible quick turn on you.
Like, Mac,
where have you been? Who cares where Mac's been? Who is this guy? You know, but with Magma Dragoon, there's a lot. It's more sort of like, oh, you know, you've got to get out of here. Everything's exploding and shit. That's not the exact dialogue. But it's nice that before the fight, and this is something that would carry over into the Zero series and the rest of this series as well, there is a little bit of back and forth, like, why are you doing this, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes they have reasonable points to make, I think, but it adds a little bit more tragedy when it's someone who's, like, former friend, who's now you've got to fight and kill, even though it's very rudimentary stuff. I do appreciate that a lot.
Is it, like, Storm Owl, who brings up Storm Eagle?
Yeah.
Is that like they I don't want to say that this is like the first Mega Man X game where, you know, story matters, quote unquote, because story can matter however big or small it is. However much
you
care.
Dr. Cossack's tail and poor Kalinka.
Yeah.
So I love gripping. Kalinka.
The story story always matters as much as someone cares about the story. But this is really. This is, and especially with the ice level, you know, seeing frozen chill penguin and stuff in the background. This one's really
Blizzard
like,
Buffalo.
Yeah, it's
him.
This is a game that is rewarding people who've been paying attention.
That's a good way to put it.
Did they explain what happened to Green Biker Guy in this one?
Oh, don't.
No,
I'm gonna
he
cry.
Just lives
I'm
in our
cry.
Hearts.
Please don't bring up Green Biker Guy.
No, my favorite thing about the story
so much.
In Mega Man X4 is not the cutscenes, it's not the dialogue, it's the Maverick stage select introductions, where it just gives you like this little snippet of text about the circumstances around the battle you're going to have, like what's his face who escaped to the city, and it's just like this tiny little evocative fragment. And if that's all they gave you for plot in Mega Man X4, it would be such a fascinating game. It would just leave so much to the imagination and just intrigue you to like create your own stories around this thing. And, you know, then they had to give you Zero screaming into his oil bloodied hands and whining. but, you know, there is this like kind of carryover from the 16-bit era where it's like, we don't have a lot of space to tell a story. So let's make these little fragments count as much as possible and give these robots you're going to fight some kind of personality that exists beyond just, you know, their sprites and their weapon.
It doesn't mean that after you beat the introduction, there is that sequence where you have to just tap really rapidly through loads and loads of text as it individually introduces each of the stages to you.
Yeah, the sound. God damn it, stop it.
Yeah. I mean, the X4 also joins Metal Gear Solid 2 in the pantheon of games that secretly have a prequel on the Game Boy Color.
Right.
Because, like, we don't know who Iris is. Like, why does she matter all that much? But if you've played Mega Man Extreme 2 on the Game Boy Color, that's
among
Iris's,
us hasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Iris's introduction. Yeah, who doesn't wish they could occupy a laboratory and attack whoever visits
the
there?
The good old Reploid Laboratory. Dear God, they did not try whatsoever. But there is actually kind of a cute line in that game where, like, Zero says something like, oh, hoping to give Iris too much of a hard time, Colonel's going to kill me. Like, he didn't, just to paraphrase, like, I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
There's actually a couple of cute lines in X4 where, first of all, when you go up against Frost Walrus as Zero, he's like, who's this blonde kid? And Zero just tells him to shut up. And I was like, okay, so what is hair? This whole time, it has been hair. Also, when you go up against Split Mushroom as X, I think, Split Mushroom's like, blah, blah, my boss is telling me to do this. And X says, who's your boss? And Split Mushroom says, take a wild guess. And, of course, it's Sigma. Speaking of, I really hate the Sigma. I think this is my least favorite Final Sigma. I like Grim Reaper Sigma. I think he looks cool. I hate that last Sigma there is, like, he's 50 parts, like, scattered around. I don't know what's going on there. I hate
that guy.
It
takes so long to kill him.
It does, doesn't it?
Even if you know what you're doing. Yeah.
Even GDQ, like, it was taking a while to get him down.
It's like 30% of the whole length of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they applied a decompression algorithm to him. And then he spread out all over.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably still not as bad as the battle body from X3, actually, now that I think about it.
That was absolute garbage to
well,
this
you can
day
only hit like the one pixel
when I see that sprite I go into a rage. I just hate that thing because I fought that as a kid and I'm like, okay, his head, it's tiny, it's stupid, but I can reach it. And every time you're trying to fire at his head, it goes clink 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 and nothing. You have to fire at his shoulders and that will get the head. It's such a bad hitbox. It's just the most awful boss. But yeah, I will take Zero's X4's boss like any day of the week over whatever the hell that was.
The best thing about that is once you beat it, you got to do that horrible climbing segment when if you die there, then you have to fight it again. Some X6 stuff right there.
Yeah, but when you if you clear that in X3, you get to see X say damn. And I've never seen a video game character say damn before because I didn't play Bionic Commando. So that was neat.
Wow.
Yay, X said a bad word.
It would not be the last damn in a Mega Man game.
No, I think there's one in X4. I think Zero says damn. And,
yeah.
As Bass says damn in Mega Man 7. They for some reason, they started cleaning all that up. Like, oh no, damn. We're all going to die because Mega Man said damn.
I think Lan says it.
I said quite a lot of bad words during X6 and X7.
But... I said my share of bad words.
Yeah, but Lan also drinks whiskey on an airplane. Are you going to treat him as a like a child's standard to live by?
Battle Network 2 had the weirdest fucking localization. Holy shit! To this day, I want to know what happened. Like,
it's crazy.
Just go drink your mother's milk. Holy
it's so
shit!
So good.
I love this.
How like the collection came out and there's like you got the screen that's like look. We know this shit's off the chain. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Are we gonna? It's like, yeah, we're sorry. We had a grown woman have an orgasm in front of a child while not battling him. But
I remember that part.
What a game!
Are you sure this was in the game?
Snake Man's operator was her name Miss Millions. I don't remember.
Oh, yes, I remember.
She was Victor's type. Victor, you know her name, but she has an orgasm in front of Land when she's
wow.
It's a weird game. I love that game. Speaking of games we love, back to X4. Because I think, as we wrap this up, because I have a meeting to go to, because life sucks, I want to talk a bit about the Mavericks. This is not my favorite stable of Mavericks, but there are some good ones here. First of all, Victor, you mentioned Storm Owl, and we were talking about the voice acting. So when I see Storm Owl, I immediately think Storm Owl, because the way he says it specifically has been memed on the internet.
Right.
Has the H in there. And I was a little bit mad about the fact that we have Storm Owl when he already has Storm Eagle. But I forget, was he like kind of imitating Eagle? Like, I know Eagle was his superior at some point or something.
Yeah, they were part of the same Air Force. I mean,
which
makes sense. Yeah, I can't remember who's superior to who or the timeline. I'm sure that's expanded upon in some supplementary material somewhere.
But, I know. Yeah. A bit of, like, in the manga, Iwamoto's manga, which was, you know, just a big source of inspiration for myself as a writer. Mm-hmm. Eagle was allied. He was very close with Zero, which they actually transferred into Maverick Hunter X.
Right.
They became friends in that. And Overdrive Ostrich was a good friend of Eagle's. And he had a bad accident that caused him to stop flying. It gave him PTSD. He wouldn't fly again, which he shouldn't fly. You're an ostrich. So yeah,
I would love to play Hideo Kojima's Mega Man X, where we get like fully fleshed out monologues from every single one of these Mavericks that explains their backstory as they lie dying in front of us.
I want to play Yoko Taro's Mega Man X.
I mean, Solid Snake could be a Maverick name, you know.
I think Sharky has mentioned all of the
Foxhounders, yeah.
Yeah.
Cold man.
Yeah, you beat a boss and Drebin calls.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, whenever someone says Revolver Ocelot, if you ever look at a video of an ocelot on YouTube, you will notice something. Half the comments are references to Archer, and the other half are references to Metal Gear Solid. There's actually a little cute little Canadian-made nature show that I watch on YouTube that talks about, you know, animals. And when they got to ocelots, they had that line about how ocelots are proud solitary creatures, or however ocelot says it exactly in the game. That's how they said it. So I appreciated that. Stupid foxy or piss cat. Do you have a favorite amongst the Mavericks before we wrap this up? I want everyone to talk about their favorite Maverick in this game.
Cyber Peacock. Yeah, definitely Cyber Peacock.
Peacock is a good get.
Very fun. I like the idea of in the stage very much. It's challenging, but not too challenging, to getting the A ranks or the S ranks or whatever it is to get the power up.
That was like one of the first instances we see of like cyberspace becoming a part of Mega Man. But it became part of like other games too after that, because the internet was still pretty new and exciting.
The only issue I have with him, I mean, I like, if you use Soul Body on him, it's just incredibly predictable. But that's kind of a problem with all of the Mavericks in the series. Once you have their weakness weapon, you can just lock them into a
pattern.
But that's not true of all of them. Like, Magma Dragoon is pretty difficult no matter what, I think. But
the
Cyber Peacock is just funny to me. I'm sorry, I go for all of funny, and Cyber Peacock is the most ludicrous one, apart from the Split Mushroom.
If you were on the Mega Man Network, do you remember a guy named Cyber Peacock who used to do like the funniest Flash videos and like...
Honestly, vaguely, yes, I do.
Because he works for the Pokemon Company now.
Oh, so wow.
If you see a video of like a promotion from the Pokemon Company, there's a good chance he did it.
Wow.
But I still talk to him. He still has the funniest shit. Like, or he did have the funniest shit back then. But yeah, Cyber Peacock, good Maverick.
And I love that stage because like you say, that's sort of the introduction of like a ranking system that would become very, very important in the Zero games. And I think sort of speaks to X4 and the X series broadly, especially the early ones, that they really are about playing through them a million times and getting good at them. And like, they're sort of about stage mastery, especially with some of the things that are missables, like the upgrades that you get from getting good ranks in Cyber Peacock. You know, there are things that you will probably miss your first time, but that you will learn to get good and discover secrets because of getting good.
They kind of did it over with, I think, Optic Sunflower in X8, but in that version, it was almost ridiculously hard to get the A ranks.
Right. Yeah, they did that with him.
Yeah.
I like the music in that stage. That was just...
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And I think like the Cyber Peacock fight, it's been, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years since I've played through X4, until last night, but I was blown away by how perfectly tuned the boss fights actually are. Like, I was in a boss room and I'd get hit by something once and remember, ah, I know exactly how this works. Or even if I didn't remember, there was something like, there was just muscle memory that that made me dash in the right places. And especially mastering cyber peacocks, that if you get really unlucky and you're in that missile phase a lot, mastering the like knowing where to bait those missiles to then dash along the wall and jump over and maybe even get a hit in. It feels great. Like you can brute force your way through these fights, but perfecting them feels so good and so attainable. Like when you get those rhythms into your body that let you get an extra hit in where you hadn't before, it just is incredible. All of these fights have moments like that. So I think they're all fantastic, except Frost Walrus. It's so easy.
Frost Walrus is obviously the starter maverick and big, slow, kind of boring. You're right.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite, Jeremy Parrish?
You called me by my first name. That's weird.
I know.
I can say it's definitely not Jet Stingray because his stage consists of an auto scroll, and that's stupid and bad. I like Web Spider just because I love the way the announcer says Web Spider.
That announcer is very enthusiastic. I appreciate
that. He loves him some Mavericks. He loves them. But there aren't any Mavericks in this game that necessarily individually make me think like, oh, this is the coolest thing. Nothing really blew my mind. But they're all okay except Jet Stingray.
Yeah, I agree. Jet Stingray, just to bring it up briefly, I'm sure there's been other scrolling games, levels in Mega Man games, but that's when they brought in the speeder bike levels. Like, it is so bad in X5. I'm sure we'll get into that when we get into X5. But yeah, that's just, I don't think Mega Man games need auto scrollers like that. Not as like a, I kind of liked how in X2 you had the bike. And if you know how to use the bike, you can do some really cool shit, but you can totally ignore it and be fine. So I kind of wish they would go with that again.
How do we go from ride armor in Mega Man X to this crap? You know, I blame Mega Man 8 with its auto-scroll sections. The developers were like, wow, people really hated this. Let's do more of it.
I feel like jump, slide, the speeder bike sections in X5, it's all a warm-up for Gigabolt Manowar in X8, which is the worst one.
That is such a bad stage. Give me a reticle.
It's not like it's that hard. It's just total garbage.
Just give me a reticle. I'm not asking for much. Just get me out of this hellhole. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I agree with you there. But not my favorite stable of Mavericks, but I don't hate them either. Magrin Dragoon looking like Akuma is pretty funny because until that
doing
point.
Doing Hadoukens and stuff, right?
Yeah, he's doing Hadoukens. He says it and everything. I like it when Capcom crosses over. I think, you know what? No more Marvel universe. Let's have a Capcom universe. Let's have a Capcom crossover movie or Victor's Grimace of Pain that just happened right now, listeners.
I'm fond of the fact that with Magma Dragoon, you can get into the battle with the ride armor. That feels very cool.
That's really cool. That was a big coup back in the day.
Yeah.
Coup, if you will.
And I mean, you've mentioned them, but I know I've done mine, but I just want to mention that I do like Split Mushroom for bringing back the Gemini Man thing, kind of, in a more interesting way, I'd say.
Yeah.
He had a really interesting state. He was actually, like, despite his stupid-ass name, he was probably one of my favorite Mavericks. He's fun to fight. He has good music. He had that really cool stage effect with the staircase that Capcom loved so much they had to keep doing it.
Bringing it back,
Where is this place? It seems like it's got a bit of a structural problem, but whatever. It looks cool. we have been talking about Mega Man X4 for some time, and I will definitely be bringing you guys back for further X games, which I am laying claim on. All Retronauts listeners, beware. But until then, this has been a lot of fun. Does anyone want to kind of just briefly wrap up what they, talk about what they're up to, what they've done? I know we've done it before, but I like doing it again at the end. Jeremy, you go first.
Sure. I am still trying to figure out what I'm fighting for, but I do think that Retronauts is a worthy cause. Also, my work at Limited Run Games and making YouTube videos and books based on those. So anywhere on the internet you can find me, but most conveniently at Blue Sky is jparrish.bluesky.social.
And you, Victor?
I'm going to betray the Maverick Hunters and hide myself inside a volcano. But if you want to find some of my work, I'm over with Nadia on the sister podcast, Acts of the Blood God, which is all about RPGs, over there with Kat Bailey and Eric Van Allen, as well as our sister to that sister show, Charlian Dropouts, which is our Final Fantasy 14 podcast. Yeah, head on over there, patreon.com/bloodgodpod.
Sounds good. How about you, Stuart?
Mostly Retronauts, you'll find me. I've read a book called All Games Are Good, which I might add, and I'm not going to blow smoke up my own butthole here, but it is the best book ever written on any subject, arguably. So please buy a copy. You will not be disappointed, especially not with me flanging out and play that. I'm also working on a bunch of other stuff that either I can't talk about yet or is nothing to do with the subject whatsoever. You can find me on Blue Sky Stewardship, bluesky.social, and I will mostly just post drawings of people I've made up rather than talk about video games.
That's okay. You don't have to talk about video games all the time. But right now, we are talking about video games as we wind up, so let us not forget to mention this is Retronauts, as Parrish mentioned. It is a retro games podcast supported by you, the listener. Thank you. If you enjoy our work, please support us at patreon.com/retronauts. A mere $3 gets you access to episodes a week early and ad-free. $5 gets you all that, plus Discord access, plus two bonus exclusive episodes a month for a cool ultra $64 a month. You can get all of that, plus the opportunity to set the topic of a Retronauts show once every 6 months. Holy cow, what a steal. As for me, as Victor kind of already said, I'm from Acts of the Blood God, podcast all about RPGs, old and new, Eastern and Western. We stream, we talk. I actually write a weekly newsletter for it. You can access it all through our Patreon at patreon.com/bloodgodpod. Thank you for listening, and until next time, you are fighting for everlasting peace.